Welcome to Creating Wealth with Jason Hartman. During this program, Jason is going to tell you some really exciting things that you probably haven't thought of before, and a new slant on investing. Fresh new approaches to America's best investment that will enable you to create more wealth and happiness than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine, self-made multimillionaire who not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. He's been a successful investor for 20 years and currently owns properties in 11 states and 17 cities. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to financial freedom. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is episode number 162, and this is your host, Jason Hartman. Thanks for joining us today. We've got a great show for you today. First, we're going to do a little more recap on the Masters weekend. We've got a guest in the office here, one of our investment counselors, Devin, who just got back from several days in Denver, Colorado, looking at properties. So we're going to give you a little bit of an update on that. And then I'm going to continue from show number 141. Yes, believe it or not, that was what? 21 shows ago, where I talked about the biggest mistakes investors make. So many of us have these self-sabotaging behaviors from time to time, and they say sometimes the greatest enemy is ourselves, right? So we've got to overcome ourselves. And as investors, we want to minimize the amount of mistakes we bring to the table that are sort of self-imposed, right? So we'll talk about some of the mistakes investors make, and that'll pretty much be the show today. It won't be a real long show today, and we've got some great shows coming up. We interviewed recently the head of the Global Property Guide, and he'll be talking about real estate values all around the world. We spanned the entire globe with him in a 55-minute interview, so that one's coming up. And then we've got a lot more on business topics as well. We've got Tony Alessandra. Gosh, I can't even remember, but we've just got a whole bunch of great shows on the way for you. Also, I don't want to forget this, but we've got a totally new thing, and if you like to get a deal, and I like to get a deal, so if you like to get a deal, here's the way you get a deal. Join our totally new text club. Yes, our text club. And when I say text, I mean I'm referring to text on your cell phone. And all you have to do to join the club, it's totally free, is you need to text a short message to, and I'm going to give you the text code here, 411, like information is 411, 247, 411 or 24/7, like 24 hours, 7 days a week, 411, 24/7. Easy to remember, isn't it? So text the keyword Jason, my name, and then leave a space and put your name, and then another space and put your email. And you'll immediately get a text response back to your cell phone. And what this will do is entitle you to all sorts of very, very lucrative discount offers that are totally exclusive to the text club. So if you want discounts on our products, our events, Platinum Bucks, which you may or may not have heard about, depending on how long you've been listening to the show, there's going to be a lot of great promotions that are offered through the text club. And all you have to do is join, and that's it. It's really easy. So remember, 411-247, keyword Jason, space your name, space your email, and you will be a member of the text club. All right, so Sarah and Devin are here with me. They are investment counselors with the firm. You've heard from Sarah before. If you were at Masters Weekend, you probably met Devin. You haven't been on the show, have you, Devin?
I have not been on the show. This is the first time.
This is your first 15 minutes of fame on the Creating Wealth Show.
Absolutely.
Well, welcome. So let's talk a little bit about Masters Weekend real quickly. We had Ari and Brittany talking about that on the last show where we had the Michael Gerber interview. But Sarah, tell us about some of your impressions.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So we had a great Masters Weekend. I lost count. I've been to so many, and this was probably one of the best. We had speakers out from our Dallas market, Denver, St. Robert, and just a ton of great markets with great opportunities. I know investors are always looking for the next hot markets, and I think we provide that to our investors. So that was great. I'd also like to just quickly thank our different panelists that came out and did the Tales from the Edge. I think that was one of the favorite discussions that we had, where we had some of our past investors come in and talk about the good, the bad,
and the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And how they overcame the good and the bad and the ugly, and usually with our help. So yeah, we really appreciate our clients being on the panel, hearing their real estate reality show stories. We should really do a real estate reality show, don't you think, guys?
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
It'd be a lot of fun.
So again, I just want to thank Pat and David and Mike, past clients of ours that came out. They told the true story. And again, they're buying properties again with us. And so it just shows that we're here to walk you through the good, bad, and the ugly and make sure that you come out on top.
Good. Devin, what were some of your impressions? This was your first Masters weekend with us.
Yeah, first Masters weekend with Platinum. It was a great event. I've been to, as Jason is a big proponent of, and I am too, I've been to many, many seminars about investing. This was a top-notch. All the guests were extremely knowledgeable. I was in more of a watch and observe on this capacity, and my observations were the participants, the people that had paid to come, were engrossed in the subjects. They actually wanted to, Jason was prodding people to get off, but this crowd wanted everybody to stay and keep expanding on the topic.
That's why we're either going to have fewer speakers or a longer day on the future Masters weekends.
A perfect example is one of the topics that everybody was very interested in when it came to taxation was the stepped-up basis. Now, a lot of people did not know, current investors did not know about how to step up the basis, and that's just a very elemental part of being an investor is knowing how to do that with your properties. It just goes to show you can't ever discount what you're going to learn at one of these seminars.
Yeah, it's really good. And Devin, you've got a tremendous background being a former Marcus & Millichap person. Marcus & Millichap, of course, is one of the big commercial real estate firms, and I really like their research material. They put out a lot of great stuff. I've been reading their reports for many years now and always enjoy them. Really good stuff. Any comments on that perspective? I know the commercial real estate market's obviously totally going into the tank right now, especially office and retail properties are just a disaster of epic proportion. But that's why I like housing, because everybody needs a place to live at the end of the day, no matter what.
I think the number is 1.6 million units short right now for multifamily. You combine the echo boomers, which is the people that are currently out now looking for jobs just out of college.
Otherwise known as Gen Y.
Y, and the baby boomer dilemma. And there is no construction going on right now. So for multifamily, which would be units five and above, I mean, that's typically what we call multifamily, there's a massive shortage. The shadow market, which is what Jason will refer to as like the single family homes that people are renting, people are still doubled up. They're still not buying that inventory. It's coming. And as Jason talks about packaged commodity buying, when you buy these rental properties, you're buying these at a discount. There's a massive need, especially in emerging markets where there are going to be jobs for these echo boomers for housing. And that's going to eventually, when inflation kicks in, and it will kick in, that is going to position people that are ready to buy for that rental market as very good for a long-term position.
You know what's interesting about that? And I just thought of this. I haven't mentioned it this way before, but based on the way you said that, is what's interesting is I've always talked about how long it takes for builders to ramp up construction and ramp up that machine. It's a very slow machine, and that's a good thing for investors who have already positioned themselves by acquiring properties and owning them. But you know what else happens is by the time that happens and that inflation starts to hit, of course, we're going to see higher interest rates, and that means it's going to be more expensive for buyers to buy homes, and it's more expensive for apartment owners and investors of single family homes even to buy homes because their cost is higher. So that makes rents higher because if they can't make the return, they're not going to do the deal. But it also makes it more expensive for builders to buy the packaged commodities, the raw materials of construction, because those will be more expensive as inflation hits. The copper wire, the steel, the glass, the lumber, the labor, the energy, the concrete, all of the ingredients to a house, of petroleum products, whatever. And then the interest rates in financing just the construction side of the deal. So that's the thing, folks, and this is why the future belongs to the people who act in advance of the trend. And that's really what we're seeing now. It belongs to the people that have faith and courage at the time when nobody else does. And of course, I don't need to repeat to you my favorite J. Paul Getty and Warren Buffett quotes, so I won't, because you've heard me say them so many times before that really illustrate that point. But yeah, very good point. And that's why people need to be really acquiring assets now.
Well, another key component of that, too, is when you're looking, and it's a little bit different with residential under four units because the economies of scale aren't the same thing, but the biggest components of cost when you're talking about rental property are usually your fixed cost, and one of those is your tax basis in the property. People that bought at top of market have a massive tax basis in these properties. It's a huge expense, and they have to cover it. As prices have declined now, it's a great opportunity to get in, have a lower tax basis in the house. That's a fixed cost that you really can't control if you buy when these things get more expensive. That combined with lower price debt right now makes your ROI achievable on some of these things. It might not be the case, like you said, 24, 36 months from now. We have a good window, but it's it's shrinking every day.
It is. It is. There is a good window, though, right now, and there has been for the past year, year and a half, of course. But you know, another thing that I think, and I don't think I've ever mentioned this on the show, is the possibility of cap and trade legislation. And so as the government wants to levy new taxes and new environmental restrictions, especially through that cap and trade bill that's coming up, if builders, to build future inventory, we see the population increasing, if builders have got to comply with all these new energy efficiency requirements, if they've got to do better insulation, if they've got to do more environmentally friendly homes and lower flow toilets and all of the stuff, all of that stuff that makes every raw material more expensive, every part of the house more expensive, every part of the apartment building more expensive, that also is going to be an advantage for the people that got in before all of that went into effect. So there's just a lot of things coalescing right now to make investing in real estate a very, very prudent decision. And one of the others is that I don't think the stock market has a real good future. I'm really surprised it's as high as it is. And I think that's because of the money printing and the plunge protection team, which we've talked about on prior shows. But back to Masters Weekend, and before we get into the mistakes, Sarah, any other thoughts on Masters Weekend?
I just want to wrap up and say a lot of people that I spoke with over the phone and registered for this event were very skeptical of spending their money on another seminar because there's so many seminars out there. And each and every one of them thanked me at the end of the event. They all said it was well worth it and they would attend again. And so I just want everybody to know about our special promotion coming up for the October Masters Weekend. Jason, if you want to touch on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we're starting early this time, folks, and it makes it, I'll just be very frank with you, as a business person, it makes it a lot easier for us when you register in advance, because it allows us to tie up our venue, get a good contract on the venue with the hotel where the event is, get a good block room rate for out-of-town guests and speakers, and the sooner you commit to coming to the event, the better deal it is for us. So we want to pass that savings along to early birds, and if you're an early bird, you're going to get the worm. You're going to get the better deal. So if you sign up before April 15th tax day, you're going to get the lowest price ever that we've ever offered on registration for Masters Weekend. It's two tickets for only $397. And then on May 1st, we're going to raise that by $50, and so it'll be $447. And then it's going to keep going up before the event until it reaches $997, the normal ticket price. So if you're willing to plan and act and commit early to see us in October, we're going to really incentivize you to do that because it's just a lot easier for us and gives us a much better deal on the business.
You know, one of my mentors, we've all had mentors, Jason talks about Dennis Whately as one of his.
I love Dennis Whately. Show number 150.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine told me one time when I was getting started in this 5 years ago, you can't fill your wallet if you always keep it closed. And what he basically said by that was, you got to forward spend to educate yourself. You just have to open your wallet sometimes and spend on yourself and invest in yourself. It's the best investment you can make. And it basically 80 cents a day, it's a great investment on yourself. I mean, it's less than a small Starbucks.
Yeah. You know what the name for Starbucks is? $4.
Yeah, $4.
And soon when inflation hits, Starbucks is going to be called like $17 because that's what a latte will cost you then.
I have a funny story about Starbucks. One of my friends wrote the IPO for that, but that'll be a different show.
Okay. Sounds good. So anyway, come to Masters Weekend. We'd love to have you. But listen, this is not just all a big pitch for Masters Weekend. We're just talking about it because it was a really great event. And of course, we have the Creating Wealth Bootcamp live. We're only doing that a few times a year nowadays, folks, because we've gone to a lot of online events and so forth. But the live event for the Creating Wealth Bootcamp is May 22nd, I believe, and that's a Saturday. And can register for that or Masters Weekend or whatever at jasonhartman.com. You ready? Let's talk about some of the mistakes. Let's kind of wrap that up. Because from show number 141, which that was 21 shows ago, on show number 141, we talked about the common mistakes investors are making. And I just want to go over a few more of those today and kind of wrap this concept up. It had to be a two-part show because it was going too long. So, Devin and Sarah, I'm sure you're going to have some comments about these as you work with clients and talk with clients and see them doing it. But the one I'd like to start with, and it's from one of the Ten Commandments, and it's number 5, it's thou shalt not gamble. It is amazing to me in our culture how we see this sort of gambling mentality. And I go to Las Vegas. It seems like I go once or twice a year, no matter what, because there's always a convention or a seminar or a conference or something I want to go to there. And I've just never been a gambler. I've earned my own money. No one ever gave it to me. And I've always just been rather conservative with it in my life. And I'll spend $20 gambling and I'll try and weasel a free drink out of it while I do it. So it's really the net cost is only 10 bucks by the time I lose my 20. But gambling, the kind of gambler's mentality is basically, to me, it says, I want something for nothing. I want the get-rich-quick scheme. I want my ship to come in. And I know a lot of people like to gamble and they do it for fun and entertainment. A lot of people have fun with it and whatever. But when it comes to your investments, you cannot afford to gamble. You just cannot afford to gamble. And so when it comes to real estate, I think the gambler is the person who doesn't have a sort of philosophy of being a prudent long-term value investor. They're the get-rich-quick gambler. They're the speculator. They're the flipper. They're only investing in properties that they think will give them a high return lickety-split. But they should be focused on just a long-term financial plan, the buy-and-hold plan. That's the one that really works when it comes to income property. And it's the only one that I've seen ever work over time. The flippers, the gamblers, the get-rich-quick people, over the years, the 24 years that I've been in this business, those people, they have spending money. But the people that buy and hold, they have real wealth. And I don't know about you listening, but I'd rather have real wealth over spending money any day. And when you buy a property expecting something great to happen to rescue you from a property that never made sense the day you bought it, you are asking for trouble. And we see tens of millions of people who are totally in trouble nowadays from that exact philosophy. Sarah, you have people that call you up, I know, all the time, and you come to me once in a while and say, you just got off the phone with someone and you sort of couldn't get it through their head that they're not going to make 50 grand in 3 months buying this property. Income property doesn't work that way, folks. It's a value investment.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really why I really enjoy working with the podcast listeners, because you all get it. You guys have been listening to the show. You understand all the dimensions of real estate investing, and you guys are some of my favorite clients. It's the people that won't invest in coming to the seminar or just listening to the podcast. They don't understand all the dimensions. They want that instant gratification of cash flow. And sometimes, quite frankly, they never invest because they don't think it's a good enough deal, and they're really not understanding all there is to it.
I have seen people throughout my life that'll come to me with business opportunities. They'll come to me with it's the greatest latest thing, the greatest latest investment, whatever it is. And one of the great things about letting the years pass and getting a little older is you just develop a lot of wisdom and you see like where that person ended up. And they just never seem to really get anywhere over time. It always seems like they might just strike it rich with this latest thing, but it never really happens.
When I started over at Marcus Milichap, but if nobody's familiar with commercial real estate, you're on the phone a lot. You're calling property owners all the time, seeing if they want to buy, sell, trade. That's your job. They said the worst thing that could ever happen to you, the absolute worst thing that could ever happen to you, is you pick up the phone and within the first week you get a deal, because it completely skews your mentality as to what the business really is. It's a lot of grinding. It's a lot of conversation. It's a lot of relationship building. To bring that back to the point at hand, what Jace was saying, probably the worst thing that ever happened to an investor is they buy a house, they get lucky, they make $75,000 or $100,000 right out of the bat, and they think every deal
is going to be like that.
You might get a couple, but it's not the norm.
You know what? Listen, I'd rather be lucky than good any day of the week, but I can't depend on being lucky. Now, we just celebrated St. Patty's Day. Hey, Sarah, you're wearing green today, and it's not St. Patty's Day.
That's because I didn't come in the office on Wednesday.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm making up this day for
Wednesday.
Oh, I got
it. I see how you are. Okay. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. And that is one of the worst things. And I've seen people do it in their careers, business opportunities, with real estate deals, whatever it is. So it's better to be lucky than good, but you can't depend on luck. So you got to buy properties that make sense the day you buy them. And you know, Sarah, one of the points to your comment that's interesting, I'm thinking back to Masters Weekend, because one of our speakers, Lisa Cherney, who spoke there, we had a couple speakers who talked on the sort of the business side of things, because you listen to the last show, we had Michael Gerber, the author of The E-Myth, and we've had several other guests on talking about businesses, things you can do to create income, whereas the real estate is what creates your wealth. That's the plan. This is what I call the dynamic duo of money. Businesses, internet marketing, prudent, easy, simple businesses that are automatic pilot type businesses to create income for you in addition to your career or your business or whatever you have going on now in your income life. And then you use that income to buy investment properties that create your long-term wealth. Don't confuse the two. Real estate is not good at creating income over the short term. It's good at creating wealth over the long term. It's the best thing ever. Nothing beats it, ever. I mean, there's just nothing that beats it.
And a lot of the people I talk to, that's what they say. They say, well, I want to quit my job in the next year or two and live off of my real estate. And I'm like,
it's not gonna happen.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. It might if you get lucky and you do a huge deal, but if you do, it's the icing on the cake.
However, if you stay in the game long enough, the people that I know that are very well off and have tremendous lifestyles invested in real estate, they took it out, they moved up. They've now got several 40-unit buildings, and they cash flow well over $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 a month. But they've been in the game for 25 years.
And I think I know who you're talking about, your friend Gordon, who
yes.
I've met. Yeah, he's a very successful guy. One of my favorite quotes, and this has been a favorite quote of mine, well, gosh, 20-some-odd years, I'm thinking. I remember this one when I was a teenager. I read this quote originally. Success is largely a matter of hanging on after others have let go. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. It's a war of attrition. And if you can last longer than other people, other investors, other competitors in your business, you're going to win the game.
Well, just in addition to what Devin was saying, and since we're talking about mistakes, another big mistake is not getting started. I have several clients that attended our Masters weekend. I've been inviting them to events for 2 years.
Right.
And I'm thinking, gosh, if they would have just started 2 years ago when they first picked up the phone and called us, how much wealth would they have already accumulated? And so that's the other thing is if you're not ready financially to get started, at least set a goal and work towards that goal of getting enough capital to get started.
I think that'll probably take us right into the next topic, if I don't mind just doing a little lead in, is I think I'm a pretty good at
what is the next topic?
Too.
I don't think you know.
I'm going to take a stab at it, is that one of the biggest components of not getting started is fear. People are afraid that they don't know. And one of the biggest components of fear is just lack of education. You don't know. And
fear,
you don't know what you don't know.
You've probably heard this acronym, but fear, false education appearing real, or false evidence appearing real.
Absolutely. Yeah. And real estate's a high involvement purchase. It's not like you could go to the check stand to try the new Snickers peanut butter. You don't like it. It was 75 cents. You throw it in the trash.
I like Reese's. One of the best inventions over the last century was chocolate and peanut butter combining the two. Anyway, let's move on.
And so when you combine that knowledge, you get the knowledge, you're much more apt to take the next step and get involved, but you really have to get the education first before you can take the leap.
The only thing I want to say about that, though, is that there are people who are education junkies. They're forever the type who are getting ready to get ready.
Right.
And some of these people, I mean, gosh, I've talked to them a zillion times. They come to our events. They go to everybody's event. They've been to every other person's event, too. And they listen to everybody's show. They buy everybody's products. But they don't invest. And it's like, with the money you've spent on paying Robert Kiyosaki's company, you know, $8,500 for coaching, I mean, you could have bought a property with that money. There's a balance. And Stephen Covey talks about it in The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He says it's the P and PC balance. P is production, and PC is production capacity. So education is like production capacity. You want to be educated. Don't be an idiot. Fools rush in. That's bad. But also, forever learning is sort of becomes like an excuse for not doing, in a way. So there's a balance between that for sure. So fear is false education appearing real. And don't be the person who's always getting ready to get ready, but don't be the uneducated fool who rushes in either. There's a balance between the two. And you must understand and determine the balance between the two, obviously. One of the other great quotes is, don't wait to buy real estate and then wait. And see, everybody who did that plan has won the game. The contingency is, though, to that, is that they had to obey commandment number 5, thou shalt not gamble. Because if they bought a property that didn't make sense the day they bought it, then they put themselves in a position where they forced to sell it during an inopportune time. So that's the point of that. Let's talk about one of the other big mistakes. And this is kind of a funny one, but I alluded to it on show number 141, which was part one of the investor's biggest mistakes, and that is not asking for a bailout. Everybody's getting a bailout nowadays, and it really makes me mad sometimes. When these rich Wall Street scumbags, not that I have an opinion about that, get bailed out and take their giant $8 million, $17 million bonuses, the Goldman Sachs bonuses were paid out, 2 months ago or something? It's obnoxious, folks. But look, on a micro scale as an investor, you can ask for a bailout many times. And what does a bailout mean? Well, it means a loan modification. Hopefully, you follow the plan of using prudent debt to your advantage, and in so doing, you can go to your lender and you can ask them for a bailout. We have a little product on this, the do-it-yourself loan modification kit, for a measly $47 that can help you with that. And just be sure that you ask for a bailout. If you're experiencing difficult times, talk to your lender. Make it their problem. Don't go through it alone. It's not for sure that you can get a bailout or you can get help from your lender, but hey, it doesn't hurt to ask. A lot of times it's just a matter of calling them up, writing them a hardship letter. And this really applies to any of your lenders. If you have credit card debt, if you have an auto loan, real estate debt, student loans, certainly lots of bailouts being done in the student loan arena, you're eligible. If you're not in debt, you're not eligible. If you have a lot of equity in your property, you're not getting a bailout. So that's why I say use debt, but use it prudently. And when you have done it, ask for a bailout. Don't be afraid to ask. It doesn't cost you anything to ask. Thank you for listening to the Creating Wealth Show. This is Jason Hartman, your host, and we appreciate you following the show. We have many, many episodes, hundreds of episodes, and some of the older episodes have been archived and placed in our members section, and that applies to this one. So we include a sample that's about 25 minutes long, and then for the rest of the show, you can go to our members section at jasonhartman.com. Many of the other shows are still in their full-length, complete version. However, some of the shows, like this one, are in our members section where you can hear the show in its entirety. And again, you just need to go to jasonhartman.com and you can get the full show there in the members section, plus a whole bunch of other great members benefits and resources, whether it be documents, forms, contracts, articles, other video and audio content, just a great resource. So be sure to join as a member at jasonhartman.com. And thanks again for listening to the Creating Wealth Show.
This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.